And welcome back to Coast with Kelly Maroon, our special guest, as we talk about the Akashic Records. Going to talk more about, well, some more interesting things here, like, can it see the future? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Kelly Maroon with us. So, Kelly, can you look into the Akashic Records and look into the future of an individual?
No. No, you cannot. You can see possibilities, but it is all about free will and the choice that that person makes based on the information. And that would be also based on two key variables. One being discipline. How disciplined are they? And the other would be how grounded are they? Because if you are not grounded, there is no way that you're really going to be able to make progress in any way. And by grounding, of course, I mean that you stay in your body, that you are solidly planted in the earth. And most people probably think, well, of course I'm in my body. But I heard in your first 2 hours a caller mention absent-mindedness, and that kind of told me that maybe he's not in his body all the time, because that's how the mind becomes absent. You've got to be in the body. Some easy ways to do this, but people may think, oh, well, how will I do that? I carry oil of ginger around, and I just put it on my body. I put it on my feet. My cats really don't like it, but I put it on my toes, and it grounds me. And as I put it on my toes, I see the toes growing into the earth. And I affirm it grounds me, and I feel it does. So grounding is one thing. Another really important thing is discipline. And I think that's something, you know, we are either born with or not. You can work on it. But I'm very fortunate. I certainly have my human flaws, so many, but I'm blessed with discipline. And I know I got it from my father, George. He was a man who smoked Camel non-filters, 3 packs a day, started at age 13. At age 70, the doctor said, you know, you really need to stop smoking. And he said, okay. And he never smoked again. And when he was 90, he passed away. He was in hospice. And I said to him, Daddy, would you like me to go get you a cigarette? And he said, what for? And he just stopped because he was told he had to stop. And he broke his hip when he was just before he went into hospice. And I was talking to the medical professionals outside of his room, begging that he have rehab. And they said, look, there's no way. He says, then he's 90. There's no way this man is going to go into rehab. While we were having that conversation, George, he jumped over the rail of his bed and was sitting in a chair saying, when are we going to get started? So I got that discipline from him. So I'm a good discipline coach. But unless you've got discipline and balance, you can't go forward in the records. You can see the possibilities of the future, but only you make the future. It is free will. And for people who want to try to access the records on their own, I do have a prayer, one of the prayers I use on my Facebook page, but I think it's maybe 2 months ago. So I'll post it again.
Okay. So, but how would you use it? I mean, how do you actually access your records? Sit at a piece of, you know, a pen and paper do you have in your hand? What do you do?
Yeah, I usually have some things that I consider sacred around me. And if I'm accessing my own records, I say the prayers. And then I just sit. And suddenly, there's a shift. I just feel the shift, and I'm in my records. And it's just like snap. It, for me, it's like somebody is holding me in a blanket. I feel very safe in the records. I feel very secure. I feel confident. And I feel very protected. So it's different for everybody, but generally it's a very positive experience. And people can get into the records on their own with a prayer, but I think that most people need reassurance at first, because you're wondering, well, you know, is this really the records, or, you know, am I kind of making this up? Is this my brain talking? Is this chatter? You know, it's because I heard this on the radio. And, you know, you really may not know. So it's helpful to go in at first. And many people take classes from me about how to get into the records, or they do teleseminars where there's, I have a spiritual club where a couple times a month we meet and we talk about the records of the people on the call collectively, because you get 10 people together or more, you know that you're going to hit some of the same issues. And, you know, the issues come up for all of us. And we try to clear them and go on, you know, go forward to be better.
All right, and back to the pets for a second, and then we'll take some phone calls here for you, Kelly. The pets that you have done Akashic Records of, I mean, are you dealing with past lives of animals too?
Absolutely. Not in all cases, but in most cases, absolutely. Animals generally, because they are so in the here and now, they want to talk about this life the most. That's what they want to tell me about the most. But many of them have had several past lives as other animals and in very bad situations, and they still need to be healed from those situations. And I know, especially if you have an animal that seems to have some kind of an eating disorder, you know, either they have to eat, you know, all the other animals' food or all the food in the house, that is usually a signal that, you know, that animal is suffering from some kind of, you know, we'll call it behavioral because that makes sense in our society. But I would say, of course, it's behavioral, but it's because of something that happened in their Akashic Records.
All right, back to the calls now. Let's go to Robert in the city of New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Robert.
Good evening, George. Your show is the best show in the world, and you're the greatest host.
Oh, thank you so much. The Akashic Records said that.
Yeah.
You are a great show, and you're very informative and a great host.
Well, we try. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, as in regards to the Akashic Records, how can one access them with no experience or no know-how? I don't even really know what they are. I understood what you explained what they are, but how would one simply access them and know that they're doing it correctly?
Take us through this, Kelly, nice and slowly.
Okay, and you know, honestly, if you want this, this is something we should devote a show to because it does take a little extra time with people. But what you would do, is it Robert?
It's Robert.
Robert, what you would do is, in fact, I will post tomorrow. I will repost the prayer. There's many prayers you can use, but I'll post one on my Facebook page, and you can get to that through my website. By the way, offering a coast-to-coast discount on my website for everybody there. But you can say the prayer, and when you say the prayer, you want to really be calm, and you want to just focus on the prayer, and then you want to sit. And it's probably not going to happen the first time. If you're doing it on your own, you're going to want to work on it. Again, it's practice. It's action. You want to take the action and ask questions. I would say list 5 questions that you want from these records, 5 questions that you need to know about your life that are very important to you. You know, it wouldn't be things like, you know, what breakfast cereal should I eat tomorrow? You know, that really wouldn't cut it. It would have to be something important, something sacred. And I would say that if you do that with the right intent, after a week, you'll get some information.
And how do you know, though, that you've accessed it and that you're not just thinking of it?
Right, right, exactly. That's what I'm saying, why people, you know, have people like me read the records, because they feel unsure, because they've been so, we have all been told so many times that we're wrong, oh, it's all in your head, and that's just this lifetime. Think of all the lifetimes that, you know, we might have been hanged because we said something wrong, so we're afraid to say it, and that's why it's really important to trust and practice, and you have to start discerning whether it is your voice, your chatter, or it's authentic, and you will be able to tell, because it's almost like when you're driving a stick shift and you get it in gear and suddenly it's smooth and it's easy and you know that that's where you're supposed to be.
Are there similarities between people's Akashic Records?
Well, of course there's some, but I can't say that I've ever, you know, read records that were even close to identical. You know, people have similar issues, but they're really...
Like fingerprints. They're all different.
Exactly. From different root causes. Yes, yes.
Dave in Michigan, welcome to the program. Hi, David.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, Dave. Thank you.
Good, good. Enjoying your show. And I have some questions. When I was listening to you talk earlier, you had mentioned that you work in shelters and have a deep love for animals. I share that. As a matter of fact, I've been working the last several years to start a nonprofit animal rescue.
Oh, God bless you. That's wonderful.
Well, it's like you got to do it, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
As we speak, I have 2 dogs sitting on my lap that came from actually a fellow rescue in Tennessee, and they were on their way to the injection, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And someone came in and swooped them up, and they didn't have any place for them, so they shipped them up here. I have 13 dogs in my house right now.
Oh, wow.
It's fun, but it can be a lot of work, too.
It's a lot of work, it is.
I seem to be blocked, though. It seems like every time I do something to move forward, you know, like I lost internet, and or the phones are, you know, down, and I can't seem to get them back. And now even the signal that comes to where I'm staying right now for my phone doesn't even always work well.
But has that been very recent, or has it been, you know, for a while?
It's been a little over 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a while.
Yeah, I had a best friend who was going to be, you were looking for land to build a sanctuary because there are no sanctuaries, you know, by Lansing in mid-Michigan here. And we have a lot of ideas, but then we sold my home. You know, long story short, we moved into a temporary place, and he died a month later.
Mm.
And so it's taken a couple of years just to get back. I don't know how to even describe it, but I just feel like I'm kind of not going where I need to go, and I don't know where to start chipping away, actually.
And that's not uncommon, David. I think you need to access the records. I think you need to say the prayer and, you know, work with it. If you work with it, it will come around for you. You'll start to feel that gear shift inside, and you'll have more insights. Now, it could be that you're not supposed to be where you are. I mean, it could be many things. When you're working with your animals, try singing to them. They love that. They really, really appreciate it, and that will make a big difference.
I actually do sing to them, and sometimes when they get howling, I howl with them, and they're just like all geeked up.
But I know, and it, even on Saturday Night Live, they make fun of people who, you know, sing to their animals, but it's the right thing to do, to sing to your animals. So that's good. That's good you're doing that.
Some of them come from such a tortured, you know, past. I have one dog, her name is Baby, and we found her on a back road, and she is a Staffordshire, you know, pit. And she has, she's got a lot of stuff not going very well for her in the last several years. I've had to crate her because she'll, like, pack other animals. In her intent. And you can tell that she is, like, just as surprised as, you know, I am when she did an attack or something. And I would really love to help. Matter of fact, one of my friends asked me, he said, if you had to make a decision and only keep one dog and, you know, find homes for all the other ones, what would you, you know, how would you do that? And I'm like, which one, you know? And I said, well, I would keep Baby because she's the most troubled. And he thought I was crazy. But...
Well, it's really hard, David. Anybody who works with animals is going to, it really is kind of a special path, because our society, you know, seems supportive in some ways, but we're really not, because collectively we do not treat animals very well at all. I mean, there are animals in our country, you know, and on the whole planet who never see the light of day, who never feel the earth under their feet. They're in factory farms, and we don't treat animals all that great, and we don't always treat pets so great, you know. So it is a special problem, and it's a special calling, and I've got to tell you honestly, it's always going to be a challenge, but I think you're up to it, obviously.
How did we get the name Akashic?
It's a Sanskrit word, and...
Meaning?
Oh, it just means the story.
The story.
So it's like your story. It's the story of everything. It means telling the story of the person, the story of the place, the story of the animal.
Skype line is open at George 97313. Sam in Upland, California now. Sam, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good,
tonight?
Sam. Thank you.
I just wanted to know if you have any insight on the elections coming up, because I've been hearing about martial law coming into effect and suspending the elections.
Yeah. Now, remember, I said that the Akashic Records really don't go into the future. And the elections, yeah, there's so much to say. It's really something. I think we are living in really serious times, and I think people do need to be really aware and conscious. And other than that, I guess I'd be getting really political. There's probably not even enough time for me to express my views. So.
No, go ahead. Give it a shot.
Well, I'll tell you honestly, I've physically been in the presence of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and I don't know that you can get the true essence of somebody until you're in their personal space physically and really, you know, see them and shake their hand. And they're both very interesting individuals, very, very interesting individuals. It'll be a tough race.
It'll be a tough race indeed, to be sure. So with these Akashic Records, you've done some work where you have looked at what are collective records.
Well, collective records would be records that we have as a human race, or that we have as a country, or even every state has collective records. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the Fukushima, the GMOs, the way we treat animals, you know, the way we neglect the power grid, all those things are part of our collective records, and how we individually deal with them impacts the collective records and our own records. And there are so many simple actions people can take. You know, for example, if you feel strongly about any of those issues, what you can simply do is you can go on Facebook or your social media choice, and you can send a message to the company. In fact, I send a message Saturday night to a candidate, and I posted it on several pages. And then my husband said, "Are you really nuts?" And I took it down. So, but it's an easy way to express your message and get it out there. So if you have any strong feelings about those things, you know, become active. Everybody doesn't have time to, you know, march and write letters and even make phone calls, but you can do a couple clicks on the internet and express your views.
You like doing what you're doing, don't you?
I love it.
I could tell. Now, when you got your PhD, Doctor of Philosophy, did you expect to be dealing with Akashic Records and things like that?
I didn't know that it was going to be Akashic Records, but I knew it was going to be something that I didn't know yet. I knew that somehow it would all come together, because actually I spent a lot of time in the Fortune 50 companies and in academia. And in fact, George, I taught at U of D for 3 years.
That's my alma mater.
That's right. Great school. And so I didn't exactly know where I'd end up, but I knew that somehow it made sense and there was a plan, and that I needed to do what I was doing to get to where I needed to be. And of course, that's ongoing. I mean, you can't just say, well, I'm here now. You have to just keep going.
Well, you know, and you're from the Detroit area, aren't you?
Yes, right now. Not originally, but yes, I've been here for a long time.
All right, stay with us. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you, Kelly, on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD. We'll take your final phone calls, too. Kelly, have you ever accessed the Akashic Records to see something so frightening it scared the living daylights out of you?
Well, not really. I have to say no. I have seen some things in there, as things I've already mentioned, that I think are frightening, but, you know, kind of used to it because it's daily life. You know, the GMOs, the Fukushima, and so forth. To me, those are of concern. I don't, you know that everybody shares that, but I think that that is frightening. But, you know, we kind of become desensitized to it, which is unfortunate. But at the same time, you can't go around, you know, screaming all the time and trying to get attention. You've got to find peaceful, appropriate ways to get your point across.
What would you say has been the most fascinating aspect of what you do? accessing these records?
Definitely seeing the different places people have been, where they've come from, what their issues are, and seeing the connections. I mean, sometimes when I'm doing a reading, I'll say, oh, well, you know, no matter how many times, like, this is going to sound nutty, but the person will say, oh, my goodness, I know I did a reading for somebody, and I said, you know, Scotland just keeps coming up. It is, I don't know what's going on there. Something is going on in Scotland. It looks like a lineage thing. And she said, oh, my goodness, 2 days ago, I just got home from Scotland, and my whole family is there. And it still amazes me, because I think the whole world is a miracle. I mean, I think every day there are miracles that we take for granted. Like right now I'm looking outside, it's dark. And one could easily say, well, there's no sun, the sun's gone, it's dark. But we know it's there because it's going to come up in the morning, even though it's dark now. And that's just like the records. Even though we're not always in the records, we know there are things we've done. We know there are things we can heal. We know we all have a past.
Well, everybody does have a past, that's for sure. And by bringing it out again, does that help or hurt the person in this life?
Well, it can only help them, unless they're not ready for it. And those people who aren't ready surely are not going to pursue the Akashic Records. The same way people are not going to pursue therapy if they are not ready to face their demons, so to speak.
Can you determine whether past lives of groups of people are connected to current lives? And by that I mean, do they stay together in groups?
Yes, that would be a soul lineage, and you can absolutely tell. I mean, well, if the records allow you to see it, most of the time that comes out. Yes, it surely does, George.
All right, let's take some more calls here for you, Kelly. Let's pick it up next by going to Bill in Indiana. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Morning, George. I listen to you quite a bit.
Thank you, sir.
Well, about a year and a half ago, I kept having reoccurring dreams. I kept seeing a black dragon with silver eyes. And I was wondering if somehow I'm connected to it. I have experienced a past death before, and that sucked.
Was this a violent dragon or like a statue of it?
No, it was more like a kinship. It never felt menacing.
Huh. Okay.
Now, it was hard for me to hear that. It sounded like he said that he was dreaming of a dragon with some kind of eyes.
Yes.
Yes, silver eyes.
Okay, with silver eyes. But it sounds to me like that definitely would be something that you had experienced, and you might want to do some research on dragons and what they represent, and even, you know, think about silver, the color silver, the fact that you are mentioning that the dragon had silver eyes, that must mean something because you remembered it and it's important for you to say that. So I would really look into that. It probably has some true meaning in your life if you have the dream over and over.
Well, I mean, there are times to where during the day, just the image of the dragon enters my mind and I have no idea why.
Had you ever considered asking why? I mean, seriously, you know, just in your own mind or in the meditation, sit and ask the dragon, you know, why are you here? What is your message? It could be that it's some kind of a guide for you. Now, you know, I don't know if I honestly consider the dragon an animal. I suppose you could say that. But we all have animal totems. And a good way to find that is to sit and see if any animal appears in all six of the directions, because there's not just four directions, there's east, south, north, west, up, and down. And so if you see an animal in all four directions, see if the dragon will come to you in the six directions, and then you know that that is kind of a totem that you're to work with. And I would do some research on dragons. I bet you already have.
Yes, I have. But I've never heard of one with silver eyes. That's, black dragons are usually have red eyes, and they're very chaotic.
Yeah, well, silver is definitely more of a calming color.
Yeah, I know. It's silver traditionally is a healing, is for healing.
Absolutely. The colloidal silver and so on. Yeah, so I think that sounds like a good dream, but I would definitely take the time to ask that dragon. I mean, really ask the dragon, and you'll be surprised. The dragon will probably tell you.
Huh.
And you'll know.
Do you want to really find out? That's the question, Kelly.
Well, that's true. Do you want to find out?
I would. I guess Bill would, too. Don't you, Bill?
Yeah, I do. That's why I've been... I've tried to figure it out, and it's just baffled me.
Maybe another recurring dream if it continues. You never know.
And when you say it baffled you, you mean in a, just because you were confused, or...?
Well, is a why suddenly the image will pop in my mind when I'm awake or just doing something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't read books about dragons or have dragons around you in any way?
I've been fascinated by dragons after that dream. I've bought up all kinds of them.
Well, that tells me that that's definitely some kind of a totem for you. And you must continue to research, but you must ask the dragon why it's there.
If he dreams again.
Well, even if he doesn't, you could still ask him. You know, why were you coming to me?
Well, that's a good
point.
Because
he said he thinks about him during the day, too.
All right, let's take some more calls here for you, Kel. They're lining up, and the clock is ticking. Mel is in New York. Hello, Mel. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, George. Good morning, Kelly. I have a question. I had a nice little racehorse back in 2000. Well, he died on me in 2007 at Belmont Park.
Oh.
And he was a really nice racehorse. He was a true competitor. We suspect that he's colic, but I'm really not sure. But he had qualities like that of a human. He was like a member of my family.
Mm-hmm.
He was a stud horse. You know, he had all his apparatus. And he was never really aggressive like you would, George, you know. Like the horses that are colts, they tend to be somewhat aggressive where they're hard to handle and they got a mind of their own, they want a will of their own. But he was so nice. You could put him next to a filly or a yearling or somebody like that, he would never make a peep. Real nice horse. But he died on it, and I'm just kind of curious what might he have died from, or what would he have been like, say, in his past life? And I want to ask you about myself also, if we got time.
You know, I would tell you, is it Mel?
Yes.
Mel, I would tell you that it sounds to me from what you're saying that horse was one of your soulmates. I mean, we have many soulmates, and some of them are animals. And it seems like that horse came into this life to help you with something. And it might have even been to take you through the grieving process of his passing so that maybe you needed to experience that. Sometimes we need to experience things that aren't pleasant, but you know, the horse is still with you. Just because it's not here physically, it doesn't mean it's not with you. The horse needed to leave when it did because the horse needed to go on to his next life.
I think of him all the time. You know, it's not a day that passes like my mother when she passed. I think about her. I think about him.
Huh.
And
there's a connection.
We had to pull him out of the barn, and it was so his personality was so great. But he had to go, we had to pull him out of the barn with a front-end loader. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, God, it was like, excuse my language.
Horrible,
like,
horrible.
I never want to experience again. He was such a nice individual.
No, I get where you're coming from. I used to raise him too, Mel, a long time ago. Kelly, just got to take a couple more calls and we're all done. But back to the, where he said this animal acted like a human. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that the animal, first of all, was in his soul lineage and came here and possibly could have been a human. I mean, very likely that it was. And I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I personally do. I believe that there's many animals who've come here who just decided they didn't want to be human again, and they're here with us in a different form. So I think if Mel actually said that, he's kind of answering his own question. Usually if somebody thinks to ask a question, they've already got the answer, so he knows that, and he should be affirmed. And actually, I mean, honestly, as I say that, I'm getting chills. So I feel like that horse is really with him, and it's very powerful. It's very loving.
It's Dave's turn now in Riverside, California. David, go for it. Go ahead.
Yes, George, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Doctor, I am wondering if you have ever noticed an astrological component that corresponds with your accessing the Akashic record. The reason I ask is because I noticed that in looking at Edgar Cayce's horoscope for the very first reading that he had, his moon went conjunct Uranus exactly for that day.
I do think that there is an astrological component, absolutely. I mean, even the fact that Mercury is in retrograde right now, I think, I really believe in that. I think it really affects everything. It affects the fact that it's hard for me to hear the callers, but I do think so. And I think that if you want to work with an astrologer who really knows it well, or perhaps you do, it sounds like you do, that if you want to kind of combine that along with any Akashic information that you have, yeah. I agree.
Yes, I am my own astrologer, but I just wanted to find out if you had noticed a component where there's...
Absolutely. There definitely is.
Okay. That answers my question.
All right. Thanks for that. And thanks for all of that. A couple minutes here to go, Kelly, so I want to wrap things up by talking about, again, how can people access their own Akashic records, and then how do they know they're there?
Okay. Well... If they can get a reading, they can start with that. They can start with a class or a teleseminar course, or they can start by saying one of the Akashic prayers. And again, I will list that again on my Facebook page. It's on there now, but you're going to have to scroll back a couple months. And you're going to have to work with the prayer, because you don't just jump into these records. You know, it's not like jumping into a swimming pool. It's something you really have to work with. Anything that's important, like if you're learning to be a carpenter, you've got to be an apprentice first and practice. So get the prayer, sit silently, and it will come more easily to some than others, and it will depend on how much you trust yourself, how much you trust your voice, how much you have been working on yourself.
Is it easy or difficult to access?
I think it depends on who you are. Most people who are interested are not going to have that much of a problem. Although, you know, people will say, oh, I have a block, you know, I have a block. And the more you keep saying you have a block, you do have a block, because you're confirming it. You're telling the universe, I am blocked. So you don't want to do that. You want to, you know, keep at it and say, well, I'm releasing the blocks, and today I'm going to get in. And eventually you do get in. It has been pretty easy for me, but I think everybody's different.
Is it healthy to access these records?
When you're ready, I think it really is. And I don't think that people are going to pursue it who aren't ready. And again, I think it's very healthy, because it helps you understand your past, what your issues are, what you need to work on to grow and become a better person, to be more successful in your career, in your life, and just to be happier. Just be happier and understand yourself more. I think most of us feel better when we understand what's going on in our life and why it's happening. And I think you can find all that out. I know you can find all that out from the records.
Well, it's not that difficult to access once you get into it, is it?
Well, again, George, it depends on who you are. I'd like you to try it, and then you can let me know how it goes.
I will give it a try.
Give it a try. See how it goes.
Heck, when I was a kid, I thought Akashic Records was some record company in L.A.
And it may be. It may be. I know some people have that first name. You know, give it a try. I mean, I've studied it a lot, because I wanted to really know what I was doing and understand all aspects and get the trust aspect down and know that I was really hearing information from the records. And if you work on it long enough, you know, you get to that point.
You should do. Kelly, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much, George.
Fascinating. The Akashic Records. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lundhood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.